And in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We've sung, prove him. So prove him, don't neglect him. Prove the gospel and its truth and the scriptures. Don't neglect them. The Greek word for neglect is made up of two words that mean not having a care for. And we could say in English, do not be careless about. Do not be of that state of mind that doesn't care about these things, like Gallio, who cared for none of these things. How should we escape if we don't care about them? If we aren't interested in the things of the gospel? If we don't see how great sinners we are and how we are a smoke in the nose to God the Father? We mustn't neglect the gracious provision that he's given of salvation. This salvation is great. So great salvation. First of all, it began to be spoken by the Lord, our passage goes on to say. And it was confirmed to Paul's generation by those who heard him and who wrote down, particularly the four gospel writers, the things that the Lord Jesus said, the things that the Lord Jesus did, and the things that first began to be spoken by the Lord were told to other people, and they were confirmed to us that they were true because we met those who heard him. Now we are a long way down the line. Our gospel has been confirmed by those that preached it to us, who had it preached to them, and so on down the years. Or if you like, our faith has been confirmed by the scriptures which the Saviour caused to be written, the New Testament being finished around 90 AD. So it was a great salvation. And it was the Lord's choice of the way he would save guilty sinners that they might not be cast into hell. It's a terrible alternative. So we should not be careless about the rescue, the being saved from our troubles, the salvation which is confirmed in the Bible. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. The Father has put all things in subjection under his feet. Every person, every angel, every created thing. But we do not yet see everything put in subjection unto him. What we do see is the Lord Jesus taking human flesh. The Lord Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the purpose of suffering death. And we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels who were for the suffering of death, crowned with glory. That's all over. And we see him who was given over to death, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So there is no exception. We are all sinners. We are all in line for the punishment of God, justly, and we do not deserve that it should be otherwise. But the great gospel, the great news, good news, which is Christ himself, Christ came to taste death for every man. So he took on him the form of a man, the body that the Lord had prepared for him, so that he might be identified with us. He was perfect. We are not perfect. He lived a life that we could not live. And he died a death that we could not die. For had we been put to death for our sins, as if we neglect that salvation, we may be, there is no way that we would survive that death for good. So the Lord Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. Death was the curse that God put on the earth for the sin of Adam and of Eve, that they should spend their lifetime in toil and that ultimately they would go through death with all involved, all its pangs, all its difficulty, all its failings and failures, everything to do with it. But the Lord Jesus has tasted death for every man. That doesn't mean, of course, that we don't go through these things. It's talking about punishment for sin. The sin that caused Adam and Eve. The sin passed down that causes us. The sin that brings us into enmity with God and incurs his wrath is because we have ourselves committed it. We've taken the side of God's enemies. We've not taken the side of his people. So the Lord Jesus Christ has come representing God, but identifying himself with our human flesh, that he might know what we go through. He might know what we think, yet without sin. It was an atoning death, which means that his death made atonement for our sins, diverted the anger of God away from us onto him. It was a vicarious death, that is, he suffered instead of what we should suffer. It is that he, by the grace of God, should taste everything, taste death for every man. But who was it did it? It was the Lord Jesus. It was the Lord Jesus for whom everything was made, and who made or was involved in the making of all things himself. And it is he that makes our salvation, of whom he is the leader, perfect through sufferings. And that's not to cover all the things that makes the salvation which is in the Lord Jesus Christ so great. There was none greater than the Son of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's described in chapter 1, who is heir of all things, by whom the Father made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, such a Saviour, such a Lord Jesus, appointed by the Father to save those who have sinned, of the highest rank, yet by himself, no one else could share it. He purged our sins on Calvary. And because the Father approved of what he did, he's set at the right hand of the Father on high. This is indeed a great salvation. Now, to neglect any advantage in life would be considered folly, especially by those who could see that you were in trouble and not taken your chance to be reformed. But this affects the eternal salvation of our souls. It is unthinkable, isn't it, to consider the alternative to being saved everlasting, where there is no more sin and only goodness, the alternative of going away from God into hell, where there's nothing but evil and evil people and Satan and a continuation of those dreadful things that we've known. Surely it is a great salvation that delivers us from these. And it would be folly to neglect it. It would be folly to not care for these things. It would be utter folly to be indifferent to them, to shrug them off, saying to the Father in our snubbing him that we consider that there are other things that are more important than his salvation. And adding to our problem, because these other things that we consider more important than our salvation, he gave us anyway. Neglecting the gospel. Hearing the gospel preached and saying, well, another day. Saying, I will not commit myself to such a saviour today because we cannot be sure we'll have another day. That is neglecting. And it is a snubbing of God. And it is forgivable that he may give you a chance another day to hear the gospel and believe, but you can't bank on it. So, to neglect so great a salvation is the greatest of folly. How shall we escape if we neglect it? What alternative is there? What alternative is there to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away sin? What alternative is there in life? How can we be saved? How can other things that we like to do exercise our time so sometimes we're not moved in our heart to be concerned and to be worried? How shall we escape from the Lord God himself, from his justice? In the law, we see the tremendous justice of God, that those who sinned under the law, like Achan, for example, were condemned by the law unmercifully. And the Saviour was condemned by that law, though he had no sin, unmercifully, not for his sin, which there was none, but for ours. The law demands, justice demands, the law of God demands absolute perfection. And the justice of God, who cannot be unjust, demands our punishment. But he has provided a way of escape. The Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are punished in him and themselves do not feel that punishment. Their sins have been taken from them and the burden of them taken by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way of escape. That's the way we may escape the wrath of God, escape the curse of this life and enter into glory. But how shall we escape? What is the alternative if we neglect the faith which is in Christ Jesus the Lord? Well, that's the question. And the writer to the Hebrews says, because of that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, the things of the gospel. More earnest than what? We ought to give the more earnest heed to the gospel and to our studies. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the gospel and to our work. We ought to give the most earnest heed to the gospel and to our pastimes and to our leisures. But all these things keep us from going to church or from hearing the gospel of the Lord or hearing it from turning to him. It is necessary. Ought translates those words, it is necessary to give the more earnest heed to the things of the gospel which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It is possible for us to neglect the opportunity. We let it slide by. We let it slip by. It is true that no one who is genuinely saved, will ever be lost. But we are called upon in hearing the gospel to be certain that we don't let anything slip by to do with that faith at any time. That there should be no occasion when we neglect the Saviour. No occasion when we neglect praising him and thanking him. No occasion when we should cease to beseech him for answer to a prayer. We ought to give the more earnest heed than over anything else to the things of the gospel which we've heard, and be very scared that we might let them slip. How shall we escape that just recompense of reward if we are sinners and are not saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we are sinners, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us are sinners. We may be in error in not recognizing it, but sinners who are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not neglected putting their trust in that Savior, the Son of God and Son of Man, they will know great joy, and they will know eternity of bliss and of wonderful being. But if we neglect it, the alternative is a terror. Terror of nastiness, of uncleanness, of the presence of Satan, and of the presence of all evil of every sort, that all those who have not welcomed Christ, millions of them, have committed. But the choice is ours. Pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus may so move our hearts that we never neglect this great salvation, which is vested in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, by God the Father. May we turn to him in devotion, constant service, serve him all our lives, and enjoy, rejoicing, enjoy the hope of the glory which shall belong to those who turn to him. Amen.